I want to just share a little bit before I read the scripture tonight about the way that I grew up. I've talked about this before, but I grew up with a dad that really believed in the concept that everybody worked. I mean, he just didn't have much use for idleness, and he began to teach that to us at a very young age. That it was, you know, he just believed it was important to work, that you didn't just sit around. And he was an extremely hard worker himself. And so I remember by the time I was about 10 years old, in the summertime when school was out, I would be out in the neighborhood, and there would be older people around the neighborhood. They would hire me to clean out their ditch or clean up their yard or whatever that I could do at that age. And then I remember the summer that I got out of seventh grade. I was 13. And back then you could do this. I don't suppose you can now, but I got a job that summer in the kitchen at a local restaurant. And I worked 60 hours a week. When I was 13 that summer, washing dishes for $1 an hour, I remember one time got paid every 2 weeks. I remember one time getting a paycheck, had 124 hours on it, and I cleared $92, and I thought I was rich. I mean, I was like, $92? And I remember, of course, growing up in Indianapolis, we had winter weather. And I remember a lot of days in the wintertime, maybe on a Saturday, we'd be out of school, and my dad would say, you know, you kids don't need to be just sitting around here. Get the snow shovels and head up and down the street and see if people will hire you to clean their sidewalks and their driveways. And so we would go out and do that. I mean, he just believed in people working. He believed in his kids working. That we didn't need to just be, you know, idle. And I realize that, you know, things have changed now in a lot of ways. What I'm saying there is not some kind of hard luck story. It was just a fact. That's the way that we grew up. And I want to talk a little while tonight about work, about its value, its importance. You know, nothing gets done without it. I mean, things just do not get done without labor. When the church had this addition added on, if the construction company that was doing that, if they would have just brought the material out here and set it around, the lumber and the brick and everything, and set it there and just step back and say, be built, it'd still be sitting there today. If they had not put their hands to the work, it would have never got done. You know, things require labor in order to get done. And if you look at Nehemiah in the fourth chapter of Nehemiah, I want to read a little bit beginning with the first verse concerning the rebuilding of the wall there in Jerusalem in the days of Nehemiah. And it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. For the people had a mind to work. Now, I want to turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I want to read something about what the Apostle Paul encountered there in Thessalonica, when he was doing his work for the Lord in Thessalonica. And beginning with verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul wrote, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now to them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." And so the Apostle Paul here wrote about his encounter of people there in Thessalonica, and I suppose that this could have applied, the things he said could have applied to some in a secular sense, and also in a spiritual sense. Perhaps he had encountered those that wouldn't do any secular labor, and perhaps there were those that he encountered that wouldn't do anything for the Lord either. And so he said that himself and those that were with him and his company, they labored, they worked day and night to set an example for those people there in Thessalonica that would not do that. Now, I also want to turn to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote about working, but here he was talking about working in the vineyard of the Lord. And you know, there is, the scriptures talk to us about worship. The scriptures talk to us about the church assembling ourselves together to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord, to exalt the Lord in our worship. But the Bible also talks to us a lot about the church doing the work of the Lord. And if you look at the commission that the Lord left with his church after after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected, he came to his church, and you can read about this there in the last chapter of the gospel according to Matthew, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so we can see in the things that Jesus spoke to his church concerning the worldwide commission that was given to them, that even the very nature of the commission was that of labor. They were to go, they were to labor in the word of the Lord. They were to go and spread the gospel to people all over the world. And so there was work that he had for them to do. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let me say this also before I read these verses here. You know, it seems to me that in a revival meeting, and I want us to think about that tonight, but a revival meeting to me looks like work. It looks like that there's work for us to do. You know, we are scheduled here to begin our revival meeting this coming up Friday evening, and folks, we have work to do. You know, we have something that needs to be done. We have something that needs to be accomplished. And I believe that we all need to be on our knees and we need to be searching for the will of God. And we need to find out, Lord, what is it that you would have for me to do? Because I believe that all of us, as God's redeemed and members of his church, that he has a work for every one of us. He wouldn't have any of us. God would not look at his children and have any of us to be idle. He would have us to be workers in the vineyard of the Lord, and the scriptures teach us that. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said in verse 5, he said of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I spoke about this verse this morning. He said, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted. Now, if you look at that for a moment in a natural sense, I know that if you're going to have a garden, if you're going to have plants grow up and produce fruit and vegetables for you to take and to eat, there's some planting that's going to have to be done. I mean, you can't just walk out there to a plot of ground and say, you know, something grow here. We don't have that kind of power. We've got to labor. We've got to work the ground up, and we've got to prepare the soil, and we've got to plant the seed or the plants in order for them to grow and produce the fruit and the vegetables. And Paul said here, he said, I have planted. And he said, Apollos watered. We're talking about work. We're talking about these men working. We're talking about them laboring in the gospel. That's what he's talking about here. He's not talking about planting a garden. He's not talking about planting corn or tomatoes. He's talking about planting the word, planting the seed of the word of the Lord. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He said, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Listen, we're just the workers. We're just the laborers. God is the great paymaster. And he goes on and he says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And listen to this ninth verse. I love this. Paul said, for we are laborers together with God. You mean God works with us? Absolutely. You know, listen, that's one thing that you and I never have to worry about. You know, we may we may get slack, and I hope that we don't. I pray that we don't. We may get slack, but there's one thing that we can rest assured of is that God is going to do His work. We don't have to be concerned about, we don't have to sit back and say, now, Lord, if we do what we're supposed to do, are you going to come through? We know that He will. We know that God will do His part. The question is, will we? Will we do what we are to do? We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. I'm thankful to know that as we labor, that we labor with God, because all would be vain without Him, wouldn't it? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Our labors would be in vain without the blessings of the Lord upon them. Our labor would be in vain if God were not willing to bless it with the increase. But I'm thankful that He is. And you know, Solomon in the Ecclesiastes, especially in about the first two or three chapters of Ecclesiastes, he spoke a lot about labor. He spoke a lot in that about work, and he spoke about our earthly labors having a great deal of vanity attached to them. And I know that we realize that that's true, because, you know, people really work hard in this life for things that they can't keep, for things that are only in their possession for just a little while. And you know, when we go to the grave, those things don't go with us. We don't take those things with us into eternity. And so there is a lot of vanity that is attached to our worldly labor, to secular labor. But the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the last verse, verse 58, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, that's a great promise, and that's a great assurance that God will bless our labor. Our labor, you know, for Him is not in vain. God is the greatest paymaster that we've ever known. God will, you know, through the labors of His people, God has proven this time and time again through the years, that God will bless the labors of His people, that God will give the increase. But listen, God, you know, there's no place in the work of the Lord for somebody that's lazy. There's no place for someone who's slothful. We have a job to do. All of us have a job to do. And I was thinking earlier when I was studying these scriptures, I was thinking about how that Brother Spurgeon, when he comes to labor with us during the revival, him and myself, I mean, we know that it falls our lot to preach the Word from night to night. But you know what? There may be other things that God would have for him and I to do. There may be other things that He would lay upon our heart that He might lead us to do through the course of this, more than just stand up here and preach a sermon. And listen, I want you to know that there may be more that God would have you to do than just to come and occupy a seat from night to night. There may be work that God would have for you to enter into, and we need to find out what it is. What about me? Lord, what would you have me to do? Anybody remember what Brother Jeff Wheat shared with the church in a testimony one Sunday about coming in and seeing something that needed to be fixed outside and saying, somebody ought to fix that. And then he said, it came to him, well, I'm somebody. You know, I think that it may be easy for us to say, well, somebody ought to do that. Somebody ought to take care of that. You know, this needs to be done or that needs to be done and somebody needs to take care of that. And you know what? Maybe you can take care of that. God has work for us to do. You know, it's, you know, I really do. I pray. I feel this way every year when we're approaching the revival meeting. I pray that we'll all be willing to make a commitment. I know that people get upset with me, but they can just get upset. I just don't believe that members of the church ought to just schedule their vacation for revival week. I just don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's something that we ought to do. But people do. And I mean, we know from year to year that the Friday night before the first Sunday in June is set aside for a time of revival meeting. And that ought to be important to us. There are those that'll be here that know that it falls their lot to play the piano, to lead the singing. But you know what? God may have other things for them to do as well. We need to know, Lord, what would you have me to do? Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. You know, I think sometimes that we're far more concerned about the secular work in life than we are the work of the Lord. But I believe this. I believe that God's work is the most important work that there is. Because it's spiritual work. We're dealing with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel has been committed to our trust, and we're dealing with the eternal well-being of people's souls. That's more important than the trucks getting freight from one point to another. Those things are important, but there's work that's more important. And the Lord's church, we are engaged in the most important work that there is. And we need to understand that I believe that this concept that the Apostle Paul spoke of in writing to the church at Thessalonica, where the Bible tells us that he said, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any should not work, neither should he eat. And I'm sure that you've heard that before. You don't work, you don't eat. I'm sure you've heard that saying many times before. But listen, that applies in a natural sense, and it also applies in a spiritual sense. Listen, if we're not willing to do the work of the Lord, then we shouldn't expect to reap the great blessings of the increase. You got to work to get paid. Boy, a lot of people in this nation forgot that concept, haven't they? They think they ought to just be able to lay around all day and be taken care of. They think they ought to just be able to lay around and not do anything and have somebody take care of them. Listen, that's not the way it ought to work. If you're not willing to work, and I realize there's some people that aren't physically able. That's not what I'm talking about. If you're not willing to work, you don't need to eat. No work, no eat. And, you know, if we're not willing to labor for the Lord, then we need not expect to see the increase from the Lord. You know, I found this out, and I've worked in my life. I'm talking about in a secular sense. I've worked at a lot of different things in my life. I've worked in assembly plants. I've worked construction. I spent years as a painter. I've done many different types of work in my life. And I have found this out, that if you're going to be employed at something, if you're going to be a good employee, you're going to have to make a commitment to that work. You're going to have to be willing to get yourself out of bed in the morning. You're going to have to be willing to get ready and to go to work. And I'll tell you something, through the year, it would drive me crazy to show up to work late. That was me. It would. I mean, I felt like that I had a responsibility and that I ought to be there on time. And, you know, if you decide just to not show up for work, then somebody has to do it, don't they? Somebody has to do it. And we all have a job to do in the work of the Lord. This is not just preacher work. It's work for everybody. We, the church, are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. We are God's building. And I'll tell you what, God never saved anybody without purpose. And He has something. He has something for all of us to do. What that is for you, the Lord knows. That'll be between you and Him. That'll be on you to find out. But I know that we all have work to do for the Lord. And I remember, and I've shared this before, I remember as a boy, and I feel like I was blessed to have just been there at the time that this was going on. It's not really like that there now. But when I was in my teenage years, there were some old-time Missionary Baptist churches in the city of Indianapolis that were just on fire. I mean, they were just on fire for the Lord. And I remember going to those revival meetings, and I mean, people really put their heart into it. And it wasn't just a preacher up there preaching. I mean, there were people that would get filled up with the Spirit of the Lord, and boy, they would move around the sanctuary. They would talk to lost people. They would plead with lost people about seeking the Lord. And I remember some of those old saints coming to me and talking to me and just tear me all to pieces with their desire for me to be saved. They were workers. They were seeking the salvation of souls. And we need those kind of workers. And we need to be those kind of workers. And so my admonition to you is this: find out. Let's all find out what the Lord would have us to do. Lord, what would you have for me to do? If you want to know, I believe he'll tell you. I believe the Lord will show you just exactly what he would require. Brother Ernie, can we have a song? Do you want to be a worker for the Lord?